You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, October 7th. 29 days till Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question on this Monday morning. Do you have everything you need to bundle up the kids for the bus stop? Because it is a chilly one this morning. They will see their breath at the bus stop or when you're taking out the garbage cans. Trust me on this one. It's 36 right now here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 29. Park Falls, 33. Wausau, 34. Green Bay's at 37 degrees at this hour. La Crosse, 39. It's 32 in Wisconsin Rapids. 40 in Oshkosh. 39 in Madison. 39 in Waukesha. Coming up this morning, we're going to talk a bit about several hurricanes, several of them. We're going to talk about Hurricane Helene, the devastation and the recovery, the hurricane of lies being told by Donald Trump and others about the response to Helene and how it is hampering efforts to save lives and save people's livelihoods, even as Hurricane Milton is bearing down on Central Florida. Not helping at all, folks like Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Derek Van Orden, who voted no recently on helping aid FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which helps any of us when disaster strikes. But it wasn't enough for Derek Van Orden or Ron Johnson to vote to help their fellow man, woman, child, family, business, economy, when it comes to storm damage. So we will talk about that a bit. We'll also talk about the dangerous world of they, them. Specifically, I'm referring to a Donald Trump ad that uses they, them, you know, as a way to mock those whose pronoun choices may not match what somebody else would like them to be. But it's all been about othering some people, some populations. And Eric Hovde is doing the same thing with Tammy Baldwin, running a particular ad, not really because it's based in financial reporting or anything, but, you know, just so you know Tammy Baldwin is gay, because that might have an impact on some votes. And this entire vilification, villainization of migrant populations does the same thing as well. So we'll talk about that for a little bit. Congressional candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us, as she does on Monday mornings, to talk about the events in the news these days. We'll also have Up North News reporter Selena Heller joining us, sharing one of the stories that she's working on that you'll find over at upnorthnewswi.com and upnorthnewswi on social media and in our newsletter. Brittany Merlot will have our forecast. It's going to be dry, and we'll see what the fire danger is going to look like throughout the course of the week here. And Terry Bell will have three things you need to know to start the week direct from the Civic Media Newsroom. Along the way, you can text the show or call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to have you along. Some folks already commenting today on Facebook. Brett says hello. Nice to have you along. Nick says good morning. Alicia Saunders says FEMA is stretched thin because of Republicans in Congress, a point we just made there. But Alicia comments on YouTube. So again, through YouTube or Facebook, you can reach the show as well as by phone or by text. You were going to talk sports too. I mean, it's Monday morning. This is what you do in Wisconsin. And that's why Greg Bach joins us as well from beautiful downtown Waukesha. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat, I'm Greg Bach, your not official sports announcer, caster, reporter for Civic Media. Football happened yesterday, and that's my report.
That's really about all you need to know, is that football happened. No, it was a good weekend. Very busy. I'll talk more about it this hour, about getting around Door County. My in-laws had a wonderful 61st wedding anniversary.
Wow.
But got back in time to watch the Packer game with friends and neighbors here. But you had an amazingly busy week with the comedy festival and everything else. So tell me that carried over into a relaxing weekend.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No.
What'd you do?
We had the festival. Yes. It was 9 shows over some days. Started last Tuesday, went all the way through Sunday. There were 6 shows over the weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there was 2 shows a day. And we closed out the festival on our 7 o'clock show last night. And it was really fun. I did get home a little late, but it was worth it. It was a really good festival. We had a really good time. Met a lot of, wonderful performers. And yeah, so I got home last night. I couldn't even go to bed yet. So I had a little way late dinner and finally just fell asleep, and now I'm here.
So neither one of us starting the week entirely well rested, because after, like I said, a long, grueling week and what should have been was a good weekend, but a little insomnia to start the work week. That's always fun.
Just a little bit of can't wait to get home to take a napism.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Brett expounds on his hello from earlier, saying he's a Wisconsinite down here in Lakeland, Florida. Love the show, but also preparing for the hurricane. So, Brett, we wish you all the best. Please get either very prepared or get out one way or the other.
Yep.
Please stay safe. Did you? So I'm guessing the festival kept you from seeing any of the Packer game yesterday?
No, actually, because our shows were the game was sandwiched between the shows.
Uh-huh.
So we got to see a little bit of it. But mm-hmm. once we got back to the club to get started, the game was still happening. I got to see the very end of it. But yeah, it looked like a good game.
Especially the second half of it, a little more than, half of the game. But, it was the defense was a little weak early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jordan Love was trying to escape in the end zone, trying to escape a safety. And so he just gives this desperation throw just to maybe get it out of bounds. But oops, right into the hands of a Rams receiver or a Rams player who promptly ran it into the end zone. So it was actually the very first pick six of Jordan Love's career. And it was a boneheaded one. There's no way around it. And you thought, oh gosh, is this where things go wrong? But no, actually he answered that with his next 9 pass attempts were all completed. He had a pair of touchdown passes to Tucker Kraft, the new tight end. One of them was, 66 yards, something like that. And he threw one of those stiff arms that I'm not big on the violent crashing of football. Obviously, we're trying to fight that. But when you can kind of just, when you're big enough to stiff arm somebody who's trying to tackle you to go, get out of here. That's fun. And that's what Tucker Kraft did on a very fun, long touchdown run.
Nice.
So we like that.
Well, I mean, we're at 3-2 now.
We are 3-2 now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we're doing, and we were kind of hoping that, maybe Aaron Rodgers would help us a little bit, with playing for the Jets, and they were playing the Vikings in London yesterday morning. But as Steve Martin used to say in his early stand-up routines, but no, he had to throw 3 interceptions. So Vikings
good.
Win.
Good.
Vikings go to 5-0. I know it's kind of split. Like, okay, we wanted you to beat the Vikings, but you did get to throw the 3 picks. So, so we got that going.
So let me see the Jets. So we got rid of Aaron Rodgers and they somehow got Brett Favre.
Did I say Favre instead of Rodgers?
No, you said Rodgers, but when you said 3 interceptions, my mind just went back to the 90s and 2000s when I was like, he's the greatest quarterback. Oh, and he threw another interception. Sorry. Never mind.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, the man still got some talents, but I'm really kind of okay with us moving on as we did to Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I think it was the right way at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, good luck to him. Just not too much. Packers will next play next Sunday at home, 12 noon, versus the Arizona Cardinals. And you can catch that game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. Let's just hit all the other little sports things that, you know, we're accused of doing too much of here. Badger football team is now 3-2 on the season after beating up on Purdue Saturday 52-6. The Badger football team now has an 18-game winning streak against Purdue dating back to 2004. They will next play at Rutgers on Saturday at 11 a.m. And you can catch the Badger football team games on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Check out civicmedia.us for more information. And we're getting to that time of year where we start talking about college hockey and volleyball. Let's see, the women's volleyball team, they're now 8-4. So they're not quite the juggernaut they were the past two seasons, but they're still ranked 9th in the nation. 8-4, nine and four now after winning Sunday's home match against 25th ranked University of Washington. Their next match is Friday at home against Maryland. The Badger women's hockey team is ranked number one in the country. They beat up on Boston College on Saturday, 5-0. The Badger women are now 4-0 on the season. They will return home to face third ranked Minnesota Duluth on Saturday and Sunday at Laban Arena. Both games are at 2 p.m. Both games are already sold out for the Badger women's hockey team. The Badger men's hockey team, they're ranked 10th in the country, and they officially opened their season this Friday and Saturday at the Kohl Center with a series against Lindenwood. And you can catch the Badger men's hockey game on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. One more note about Aaron Rodgers. He reached another career milestone Sunday, becoming only the 9th player in NFL history to throw for 60,000 yards in regular season games. He joins a list that includes Tom Brady at the very top with 89,000 yards thrown. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, among others. Oh, and I've got to give away one of the notes from this day in history because it's related to sports. It was on this day in 1916 that Georgia Tech defeated Cumberland University in the most lopsided college football game in American history. The final score was Georgia Tech 222, Cumberland nothing on this day in 1916. And yet I promise you that game wasn't nearly as embarrassing as Alabama losing over the weekend to Vanderbilt in Nashville. What a party that was. We'll unpack some of the day's news coming up in just a bit. First, a reminder, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a little bit of Alanis Morissette in today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. Hey, if you're looking to see who's running this fall to represent you in the Wisconsin legislature, maybe you're curious to know what districts you live in under the state's new legislative maps, have we got the places for you. First, you can check out Civic Media's new Wisconsin Legislative Voter Guide, and that includes Dan Schaefer's breakdown of all 115 legislative races out there. For more, head over to civicmedia.us/voterguide. And for stories about how to register to vote, how to vote absentee, and more, Up North News also has a guide. Just head to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com, and click Voting Guide in the top banner. And check out our full coverage throughout the website about individual races, the work being done to protect our election against ongoing attacks, and some mighty nice non-election stories about life in Wisconsin, because we all need a break, even as we're doing our civic duty to make sure that we go vote. So again, check out the voter guides at upnorthnewswi.com and civicmedia.us. It's over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Today, Christina Lurie has stories in there about banned books being on the rise. how to learn what they are, how to fight back, how to find them, and more. She also details some mammogram myths that are out there that could be getting in the way of your good health, and a story about why some 33,000 more kids in Wisconsin could be in daycare right now and bring some peace of mind to their parents, but instead they're on waiting lists because of the ongoing crisis of affordable quality daycare out there. Learn more about why that is by signing up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see, we've got Gwen Walz, the wife of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, coming back to Wisconsin, going to campaign this week in Beloit and in Madison on Wednesday. Those make that would make the sixth and seventh campaign stops in the state, according to the Journal Sentinel. Governor Walz was on Jimmy, or will be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. He was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Former President Trump was in Juneau, Wisconsin yesterday, and we'll have more to say later about just an ongoing onslaught of misinformation and lies and violent rhetoric. I will say it has led to this. For maybe the first time, we see a major headline in the New York Times that starts to question whether the former president has really got it all together. The headline reads, "Trump's speeches, increasingly angry and rambling, reignite the question of age." With the passage of time, the 78-year-old former president's speeches have grown darker, harsher, longer, angrier, less focused, more profane, and increasingly fixated on the past, according to a review of his public appearances over the years. That's fair. And, I mean, it is a fraction of the attention that President Joe Biden got for his speeches and his behavior. When you have a president in Biden who's not only doing right by the country in letting a new generation take hold, but he's still getting the job done in the meantime. I think there have just been a couple of things so incredibly underreported these past few days. We heard for days about the potential of a longshoreman strike that was going to bottle up ports, potentially sink the economy right before the election, right before Christmas, and that strike has been put on hold. And that was specifically because President Biden worked the phones, talked to folks on the union side and on the side of the ports, and got them to reach an agreement on continuing to negotiate after you get past the holiday season. And then there was this strong jobs report that came in on Friday, upward revisions of the previous months. Basically, I mean, this is as soft a soft landing as it gets. And it's something we hear about in every economic downturn, is that when the economy comes back up, it sometimes heats up too much and you get inflation, and then you've got to do things to bring it back down and have the so-called soft landing, where you cut demand but not too much so that you cut inflation but don't lead to deflation. And any major economist will tell you, we have never had a soft landing this successful as we do right now. One particular stat I wanted to share is how more people in the prime working age group have a job than ever before. That would be people ages 25 to 54. The percentage of people in that group with a job at the peak of Donald Trump's term in office was 80.6%. Now, under Biden, it's 80.9%. And I know right away you're thinking, wait a minute, are you telling me 19% of people ages 25 to 54 don't have a job? Yes, because of anything from disability to being stay-at-home parents to a host of other things. But this current statistic basically rounded up 81% of people aged 25 to 54 are working right now. It has never been higher in this country. And that's the very definition of an economy that's firing on all cylinders. not perfect, but definitely not worth the trash talking that it's been getting. Not just the economy, but the response to Hurricane Helene and the damage that it has inflicted across wide swaths of the Southeast. But that's exactly what is happening, to the point where it has been left to some Republican leaders in those states to say, to have to go before microphones and say, no, the former president, the guy in charge of my party, is getting it wrong. The response has actually been going great, you know, as great as can be expected in a disaster area. But there hasn't been nearly the things happening that Trump is essentially, well, not essentially, he's just flat making up. He was using language in Wisconsin over the weekend about it being the worse than Katrina, and the response was being handled worse than Katrina, when that is a laughable claim on its face. And then misrepresenting the fact that there's some aid that's going to people, and Trump's making it sound like that's the only aid they're getting, when no, that's the first installment. There will be much more ahead as responsible people, as the grown-ups, try to take care of cleanup. Kristen Lierley joins us next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We will tell you why John Mellencamp is in today's history lesson coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Hey, here's a new way to do some pre-holiday shopping for that political junkie on your list, and not just in Wisconsin. Head over to the website of our parent company, couriernewsroom.com, select shop from the main menu, and you'll see a wide selection that includes Up North t-shirts. There's a courier tote bag with the simple message, "Fascists hate facts." You can get a notebook from the Keystone, our sister outlet in Pennsylvania, or maybe a coffee mug for your friend in Iowa about Iowa Starting Line. And you know those little I voted stickers with the little flag on them? Well, we've got t-shirts with a giant version of that little sticker meant to send a message about the importance of voting next month. That and more at couriernewsroom.com, and choose shop from the top menu. Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now, candidate for Congress in the 8th District, as she does every Monday morning at this time. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Back at it. Here we go. Ready or not. You
know, it finally feels like fall. The colors on the trees are changing. The air is crisp. We are, how many days until the election? I forget.
29.
I think.
29. Yeah.
I know. I'm counting down.
I know.
That was a joke.
I know. But for folks who are like, really?
Did
how many
you know
is it?
That Kristen Lierley doesn't even know when
she
the election
doesn't know
is.
What day it is. Yeah. God, he's
good. Because she's having so much fun. Why count it down?
That's right. So, do you have any big events late in the week or the weekend to share before we share our weekend stories?
Yeah, we went out to Washington, D.C.
Ooh, gosh, you were
met with a bunch of the, well, yeah, I had to, you know, meet with a bunch of docs out there, start talking about all the great work that we can do, how we're going to fix our broken healthcare system. So that was a blast. And then got back to Green Bay to go door knocking with some of the teachers. And there's going to be some sort of a feature story on me for the New York Times. Also hanging out with a supermodel. We drove to Wausau together. It's been a good weekend.
Wait. Yeah. You're going to be in the New York Times. I mean, you were with a supermodel. Which one should I stress here? Are you going to dish?
Yeah, I'd be happy to dish. So if y'all remember back in the day, there were the big five supermodels.
Yeah.
Christy Turlington has since gone on to become a champion for women's health. We've done a little work together through the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in the past, but we are actually collaborating on a documentary to just show people what the state of maternal health is across the country and how we must do better. And I got to tell you, she is not only is she stunning and beautiful, but she is beautiful from the inside out. She's done incredible work, all in the name of moms and babies and families. I'm just so thrilled to be working with her.
Wow. I am impressed. Mm-hmm. Do we know if, or when is this a documentary, like in connection with the election, or this is like kind of a longer term project?
You know, Pat, it's all a longer term project. This all doesn't end on November 5th.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. They are definitely following my campaign to see how it fits into the bigger picture. But when we first talked about it, they wanted it to focus on my campaign. And I said, why don't we make it focus on what's happening across the country? Because my campaign is a small piece and what we need to accomplish is much, much more than that. So they're talking with my friend Nikki Zeit, who's a high-risk pregnancy doctor in Arkansas. They're talking with people all over the country. And it is so exciting to see these voices rising to the top. You know some of them. Kate Cox is another really notable person. All of these people, Anna Igler, my colleague in Green Bay, people who are sharing their stories to help us all understand that abortion is healthcare. You can't take abortion out of healthcare. And when you try, moms die and babies die. So let's make sure that we all have the opportunity to make our own personal healthcare decisions.
I think it cannot be stressed enough that voting does actually sometimes have life or death consequences, whether it's, you know, women's health, or we're going to talk about hurricane response in just a moment here. But I just wanted to wrap up stuff on the weekend. You know, you live near Door County. I was tooling around there over the weekend. We've done stories at Up North News about a few different things in Door County, including the Door County Candle Company. So I've got my Ukraine candle here, where the proceeds go toward relief efforts. And here's another one that one's apple pie right there.
So good. Smell it. Just take a minute and take the top off take a big deep.
Oh, I have. This is my new emotional support candle. I don't need a support animal. I just need a support candle to remind me, calm down for a bit. But yeah, it came up because we were visiting my wife's parents, and Saturday was their 61st wedding anniversary. And they got married at this tiny little, in this little church in this little tiny town called Stengelville. And so we thought, let's go up and take a look there. And, you know, there's also a really nice meat market there. So we brought our coolers. So we get plenty of bacon and brats and other things. And the church was open. Well, it turns out there was going to be a wedding there later that day. So they were just starting to get ready. So my in-laws could go in there and actually stand at the altar where they got married 61 years ago that morning, and we could take pictures, and it was just super nice. And then
that's so cool.
So we thought, let's go look at some of the other, you know, places where this is where they used to go to dances, and, you know, this was where they used to vote, but the town hall has since been, you know, moved to a historical site. Actually, it's one of those old buildings, you know, that this is what things looked like back in the 1900s, you know. And then we thought, I've never spent any appreciable time in Door County. Neither has Sherry, despite being from Manitowoc County. Her parents hadn't been up in Door County for forever. So we said, let's just go for a day drive. And so we did. We just tooled over, hit the Door County Candle Company. We had to see the goats up on the roof at Al Johnson's. Mm-hmm. Another one, we've done those stories at Up North News a bunch. And I have to admit, even after seeing the stories a couple of times, we come down the street and you're like, there are goats on that roof. It's just this thatched roof, and yeah, there's goats up there. That's weird.
Yes.
But, you know, it's part of the wonder that is Door County. And then all the fall colors, and may I say, at this time of year, we're now in the midst of sign wars. And when it comes to sign wars, you and your colleagues pretty much own Door County at this point. You've got a very active bunch up there.
We do. The people who have been doing the organizing in Door County, though, didn't just start when the election started. They've been doing it for a really long time. They're connected. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good. They're dedicated. Door County is blue, and Door County is a bellwether county. So that means something.
Yep. Alicia writes in, did you see all the Popham and Lyerly signs? Yeah. Yeah, we did. And one of the things I liked from a democracy standpoint was when you had neighbors, usually across the street from each other, and that it was just respectful. It was like, okay, here are my 5 signs. Oh yeah, well, here are my 6 signs, you know, whatever. And you're like, you know, you don't know if they're like cordial neighbors or not. I'd like to think that they are. and that, you know, none of them had the, there's some nasty signs that are out there and things that they could do. There's like people that have like six Trump flags and five more Trump signs, you know, on their property. I'm sure you've seen them driving around and it's like, dude, you only needed one. I mean, at this point we're talking cult of personality. If you're putting that many things that say Trump, trust me, if anybody had that many things that said Kreitlow on them when I was running for office, I'd go knock on the door. I'm like, you got to tone this down. Okay.
I saw a
giant. Well, it's intimidating, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I agree with Pat. It just looks culty. It's to the point where, like, when I see a lot of like Harris wall signs on a property, I'm like, oh, you really love them. And the Trump ones, I'm like, oh, this seems like what you have to do to be taken seriously as a supporter. But there's one big sign by my house. It's huge. It just says Russian communist leader Vladimir Putin endorsed Kamala Harris. I'm like, Diddy.
Yeah, Diddy though. Yeah. You can't just say Diddy nowadays, you know, yeah. So somebody's in the headlines these days. But I know.
Did he?
I don't know. Guess what?
Vladimir Putin is
in today's history lesson as well. We'll tell you why that's happening too. But coming back to the notion of who you vote for and how sometimes it can be a life or death matter takes me to this notion of both lying about the FEMA response to Hurricane Helene. But even before you get to that point, Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Derek Van Orden were two. Not every Republican voted against FEMA relief, but they were two who did. They voted against a huge supplemental for FEMA disaster relief, because otherwise FEMA's going to run out of money to help people in these dire situations. And Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson are people who not only didn't want to fund FEMA, they wanted the government to shut down here right before an election and at a time when another hurricane is barreling down on Florida. And I just don't think, Kristen, you're hearing many people saying, well, I'm only going to vote for you if you make sure that people in need don't get help. And in fact, why don't you just shut down the government while you're at it?
This behavior, though, has served them in the past, the doubling down on the ugliness. So it's no wonder. I mean, it's Pavlovian, right? This has been rewarding for them in the past, so they're going to just keep doing it. But it doesn't work anymore. Even things like the mailers that we've been seeing that say ridiculous things, or Greg, like that sign, you know, Vladimir Putin endorses Kamala Harris. Common sense is actually coming back. People are really having these conversations. And there's always going to be that faction of people who side with Ron Johnson and side with Derek Van Orden and like that really extremist perspective. But most of us are not there. And that heartens me. The number of conversations I've had with real people who often vote for Republicans, they're not there anymore. We're all desperate for a government that's functional, not a Congress like we've been living with that can't get anything done, the least effective Congress since the Civil War, not a legislature like Wisconsin has been dealing with for the last 15 years that can't get anything done, that can't expand Medicaid, not even for postpartum moms, life-saving care. We want a government that works for us. And folks like that kind of behavior, it's just not going to be acceptable anymore.
No. I mean, like you mentioned, we talked to Sarah Kieske, who's running for state senate against Dewey Strobel. Dewey Strobel is the only one who voted against extending postpartum care to new moms from 6 weeks to 12 months under Badger care. I mean, who could be against that? But it's Dewey Strobel in the Senate and Robin Voss in the Assembly, which is why the bill hasn't even come up for a vote. So in all of these different areas, you know, we can quibble on how much should be spent on this or that, but there are just certain things that, I mean, there should just be a basic standard of decency when it comes to health care or helping somebody in a time of need or educating our kids, as opposed to this whole burn it down mentality that sadly is taking root with just a few too many people out there.
Well, we all understand too, that there's only so much money, right? We have to be, I mean, anybody that you talk to says, well, we have to be careful about the budget. We do. And personally, we all do. But this isn't the place to cut. You know, we have to be smarter about what we bring in and what we spend.
Well, maybe if folks would be a little more careful with how they're spending their money, like, I don't know, Ron DeSantis in Florida, how much did he spend sending migrants up to other states? You know, money that could have been used maybe for storm relief instead. Or how about this one out of Oklahoma, where the right-wing education superintendent for the state of Oklahoma ordered that every public school classroom in the state must have a Bible in the classroom. And then the specs came out. And in the bid specs, they say that the Bible must also contain the text of the Pledge of Allegiance, the U.S. Constitution, and other American historical documents not normally included in the Bible. Kristen, I'll give you one guess as to whose Bible fits all of those specs.
I don't know, Pat.
That would be Donald Trump, the Trump Bible.
Oh.
He wrote the specs specifically for the Trump Bible so that taxpayers in Oklahoma would essentially be giving Trump a truckload of money to put his Bibles in every classroom in Oklahoma.
$5 million.
$5 million. That's, again, if you want to talk about where money shouldn't go, it's not about storm victims. It's not about public health. It's not about education. Maybe it's about publicity stunts and, you know, just straight up grifting is where we could start. There's a lot of places there where we could start and still take care of our basic needs. Kristen, appreciate the, you know, the campaign update as always. Why don't we do a little history lesson next? We got a lot of stuff today. So
I love starting the week like that. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, let's do that. Take a pause here. Selena Heller will join us as well. And in our next hour, tell us about some of the stories she's working on Up North News. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Selena and Kristen and Greg, do I stress you out? My sweater's on backwards and inside out. Nobody had the right response there.
I remember one day you said Alanis Morissette wasn't around anymore, and that has stuck with me and actually made me listen to her more.
I didn't say she wasn't around anymore. I said she had the sophomore jinx that her second album didn't do nearly as well as the first album.
Oh no, it didn't sell over 12 million or 20 million copies. What a failure.
I know. I didn't say she was a failure. Oh boy.
Pat Kreitlow said that Alanis Morissette was a failure. He hates Canada.
No problem.
Jagged Little Pill was the number one album this day in 1995, and it gave the new Maverick label, founded by Madonna, their first number one album. Alanis became the fourth female artist to have a debut album reach number one in the decade of the 90s, following Paula Abdul, Mariah Carey, and Toni Braxton. Oh, wait, Toni Braxton, you say? She has a birthday today. Happy birthday to Toni Braxton. She is 57.
I love this song. The video is ridiculous.
I wasn't going to say it, but sure. It's a good song. It's a good video. You can dance to it. Baby. Did I mention Paula Abdul too? Oh, yes, I did. Her debut album went to number one this day in 1989. The album was called Forever Your Girl. Had several singles off of there, including this one with an animated kitty cat.
Can I tell a fun story about this song?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So there was a radio station in Milwaukee back in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, that was all like, no rap, no rock. And as you know with this song, MC Scat Cat has his own little rap part. Well, yes. It was silenced during that entire song. So you just heard music. It wasn't cut or edited out. It was just straight 30 seconds of nothing but music. Because the cat rapping is bad for the children.
We can't have rapping cats here. What's that about? This album, by the way, took 64 weeks to get to the number one spot on the chart, a record for the longest climb to the top, but I think still a good payday, none the same. This day in 1986, The Police released their final single.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That one didn't get... hold on. Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go. The Police released their final single.
There it is.
I thought I was going to have to sing it for you guys.
No, no, not necessary.
Yeah. So, anyway, this was their final single, and then they basically called it a career. They had hoped to maybe record another album. Then it was they'd hoped to reunite, but they just never made it happen. Let's see. On this day in 1939, Judy Garland, then 16 years old, recorded Over the Rainbow, the movie The Wizard of Oz. Mm. That had some staying power on it. Birthdays today include John Mellencamp is 73 today. Mm. I suddenly feel very Midwestern.
Every time I drive through Indiana, I play a little game where I seek on my radio until I run into a John Cougar Mellencamp song. It never takes long.
Do you know we do that in the Twin Cities with Prince? And it never takes long. Never takes long. Yep. John Mellencamp, born in Seymour, Indiana, born with spina bifida, but survived thanks to an experimental surgery performed at the Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. Didn't know that. This day in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduced the first moving vehicle assembly line. Another birthday born this day in 1939, the late Colin Cooper of the Climax Blues Band. Oh, and while we wait for Colin, yeah, Vladimir Putin's on here too. He's 72 today. Ugh. Big deal. Time was drifting, this rocket got to roll. Oh, but in related news, happy birthday to Fox News Channel. Put the news in quotation marks. They began broadcasting on this day in 1996. And Joy Behar from The View is 82 years old today. I would not have guessed that. Yes.
No.
82 years old today. It makes sense because not too many years behind her there, but equally sassy would be Joan Kreitlow. Mom has a birthday today as well. So I don't know if Mom knew that one of her favorites, because she watches The View every day, has the same birthday. So,
oh my gosh.
Mom, if you're listening, and you'd better be, you know, I tease her all
the time. There's a lot of sass coming out of son-in-law's mouth here.
I know. All right, on the National Day calendar today is National Child Health Day. With that ridiculously generic layup to Dr. Lyerly, anything you'd like to say about Child Health Day?
Please take care of your children. Please make sure they get healthy food and outside and they get to play and you love them and they have everything they need. It's about so much more than healthcare. It's about all the stuff that makes our kids healthy.
All the stuff right there.
That's national stuff.
Go play outside.
Technical term.
Yes. Yes. This is National LED Lights Day, which I think are a great invention, but not necessarily the thing for every circumstance. I think LED lights have a great place, but maybe not everywhere. Today is World Architecture Day, World Cotton Day. This is National Consignment Day. And, of course, it's Monday, so we've got a new week going. Interestingly, this is National Active Aging Week. So let us all age actively.
I am aging right now.
Go outside and play.
Oh, there we go. It's Kristen again. Go outside and play. It's her answer to everything. It's National Curry Week. And I think related to those two things, it's also National Risk Awareness Week. And given how I would react to either curry or playing outside, I'm going to choose to embrace my sedentary lifestyle. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Greg Bach, Brittany Merlot coming along with our forecast as well. Another busy Monday morning here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back after news, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.